thank you for tuning in to the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and hope everybody's having a good 4th of July weekend. 4th of July is until Tuesday this year, but I know there's lots of people going to be celebrating this weekend. I know there's fireworks scheduled for local events around town, and that should be pretty fun. So this week for the podcast, I want to talk about something that I have been, watching stuff all week. Okay. There's several things I want to talk about. I want to talk about Black Mirror, the season 6 came out. I want to talk about Extraction 2, the big Chris Hemsworth movie. But I want to talk about something that caught me off guard. Yesterday, or actually last night, I had the moment, or the opportunity, I should say, to watch a little something on Netflix. And like most of the platforms we have out there, you can just scroll through and see things that are coming up or things that are new, and they'll show you a little blurb about what the movie's about. So I have a very, I guess, inquisitive mind. I want to learn things. I want to enjoy silliness. I want to find things that are fantastical and see how they relate to real life. I mean, I've said it before. One of the biggest reasons that I like Star Wars is because it has the underlying tone of hope in the face of all of the things that are awful, in the face of all the bad guys that are, you know, using all of the forces there are. There's still the underlying story of hope. And I like to find the hidden message in all of these things. I like to find the thing that makes it special to me and to other people who view these things. And so, but also I like silly. I just like silly stuff, okay? Because I realize that I can take myself too seriously sometimes, and we all can. But I was looking around last night for something to watch while we had a little bit of time, and I came across this animated movie on Netflix that was a new release. It's called Nimona, N-I-M-O-N-A, Nimona, okay? And I got to tell you, the preview looked interesting. The preview was a knight who was, it was sort of futuristic in a way, but it was old school in a way because he was a knight and he had armor on and he was talking about, you know, protecting the queen or whatever. And he gets confronted with this little redhead girl who tells him that she wants to be his squire, his sidekick. And in a blurb of what was going on, she shapeshifts and becomes animals and, you know, a rhinoceros and a squirrel and a, you know, orangutan. And it was, I was like right away, I was like, what? What is this? What is this? And the characters were funny. They were drawn well. It's done very stylistically. I read it was 2D. I don't know the difference between watching something that's supposed to be 2D or 3D, but the styling was nice. It had elements of futuristic stuff with, you know, Dark Ages type stuff. And that was done for a reason. I didn't realize that till later, okay? So I thought, all right, well, this is like an hour and 30 minute movie, a little short blurb of a movie. I'll watch this. Sure. Why not? So I hit play and right away it starts off, kind of like Shrek, you know, where the beginning movie of, you know, the beginning moments of Shrek, where he's reading the fairy tale book about, you know, life and blah, blah, blah. So this starts off with a woman telling this fairy tale story about how, you know, there was this great evil, and then it formed, you know, outside these walls, and they had to build these walls up, and they had to become, you know, knights of a certain ability, and they were thwarting the possibility of this evil, and they were doing all this stuff so that they could, you know, fend off evil, because evil was out there, and they had to protect everyone, and you never know when this evil's going to come, and only descendants of this woman, they called her Glorith, only descendants of Glorith could protect these people and blah, 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 blah. Okay? Now, right away, you're set up. You know that there's some evil force outside. You know that there's some good force inside. And right away, you're just like, okay, let's do this. And they show this guy who's going to be a knight. And they have this round of, you know, futuristic stuff with flying cars that look like chariots. Very, this is very well stylized. This is very thought out and done well. There's knights riding these things that sort of look like horses, but they're these flying machines. The city is prepared like a palace, like a castle palace with a great wall and a castle in the center and a big statue of Glorith, who they, you know, all deem as the one who saved them. And this is supposed to be 1,000 years in the future from whenever this thing first started, whenever this story started. And it just takes off from there. And there's supposed to be a ceremony where they're giving this guy who's not a descendant of Glorith, but they're going to give him a knighthood because they say he deserved it. And they, you know, everybody's talking about what a great man he is. And right away, you could tell something has gone wrong. Something is off. His squire who gives him his sword is trying to tell him something about the sword. There's something wrong about the sword. And the ceremony gets him swept up into a thing. And there's a moment where he, you can tell that he's picked on by certain knights in his group. And there's another knight who he seems to be in love with, they apparently have a relationship. And this is the part that's going to lose a lot of people. This is the part where anybody who's like, I ain't watching no show about no gay people. Okay. This is a blurb of a second, and then the story moves on, and the whole movie is this quote right here. This movie confronts the monster of intolerance. Okay? They are literally knights training to fight monsters. What they don't realize is that they are the monster. This movie's fun. This movie, listen, I'm not going to give you the whole thing package. I could give you the whole thing package. You're not going to watch it. Who am I kidding? I would love to say, go watch this movie. You're not going to watch it. You're not going to watch it. So if you haven't listened to my podcast, listen to me tell you about this movie. Okay? So anyway, the knight goes to the ceremony where he's going to be knighted by the queen. And she tells him, she's like, you know, this individual right here is the, you know, has proven to us that you don't have to be born of Glorith's blood to be deserving. He has well deserved to be a knight of the realm. And she goes to knight him with his sword. And his sword, when he holds the blade, the sword becomes like a rifle or something, and it shoots and kills the queen. And right away, they're thinking he's the bad guy. And so he runs off. Okay. The person that he was in love with has to cut off his arm to stop the weapon because it's attacking everyone. And the guy runs off. Well, the next time you see him, he's holed up in a little bitty shack underneath. I say shack, it's a huge city. But anyway, he's in some kind of hiding place, a room. And he gets a knock at the door. And this girl shows up, this little redheaded girl of unknown age. We don't know how old she is. She looks like she could be a teenager. There's a joke where he guesses that she's 10. He has no idea how old she is. and then she proceeds to tell him that she wants to be his sidekick. You know, every villain needs a sidekick. You need a sidekick. And he's like, I'm not a villain. And she was like, yeah, you are. I've seen it. You killed the queen, you know. But there's something in him that she sees. And there's some commonality between them. And you learn this along the way. Okay. So they become buddies. They start trying to figure out how he got set up. He tells her, he's like, I want to find out who did this because it wasn't me. And so their first thought is, let's go question the squire. And they go and they question the squire. And the whole sequence is funny. It's fun the way they do it. She's hilarious. She constantly shapeshifts into different things, which makes it even funnier. Their dialogue between each other is smart and witty, and I enjoyed watching this from beginning to end. Anyway, he asked her at a certain point, he says, "Tell me about you." And she says, "What's there to tell? I made a wish in a well, and I wished that I could do anything, and here I am." And he was like, "That's not the whole story." And she's like, "No, it's not." But you see the whole story later. You see the whole story of her as a little being. Can't really call her a girl. It shows her long, 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 long time ago. Long time ago, 1,000 years ago, at least. Where she is a bird and flying with birds and becoming friends with birds. And then she's a deer. She becomes friends with deer. And she's just this thing that can shapeshift. And she becomes a girl and meets a girl and becomes friends with a girl. And shows her friend one day that she can shapeshift. And she's worried that her friend's not going to be her friend anymore if she learns that she can shapeshift. But her friend loves her and it doesn't matter. Okay, you can shapeshift. That's cool. Let's have fun with it. So they would play together. She would be an otter and swim in the water and help her friend swim. She would be a bear and they would pretend to fight the bear. Well, one day the village people saw this bear and they come and they attack the bear and they, you know, with flaming torches and stuff to chase off the bear. And they didn't realize that the bear wasn't a bear. The bear was a girl. And when she shapeshifted to try to defend herself, they were terrified. And right away, they got termed monster. Okay. And at a certain point, the bear got angry. Not just, I'm going to defend myself angry, but an angry, because it got hurt. And the little girl who loved her then picked up a wooden sword and deemed her as evil, the enemy. The little girl was Glorith. And so walls were built. Walls were built up. Now, here's the parallel in life that I think a lot of people are going to miss because they're not going to make it this far in a movie. They're going to give up. They're not going to watch it. They're going to hear that, oh, it's a gay movie. It's not a gay movie, but it is. Sort of. It's a fun movie. There's the idea that when we're children, we don't know things. We don't know the world's definition of things. I just watched, my wife sent me a TikTok yesterday of a famous comedian who talked about how his mom, when she had him, threw him in a trash can. And he was found by a fireman. And the fireman brought him to a home, and he was adopted when he was a baby, and he was raised in Kansas. I think it was Kansas. Doesn't matter. You don't know who it is, so just go with it, okay? So he's raised with his family in a nice area. He's got a white family. And he doesn't know the difference because they never talked about it. They never cared to tell him about it. They raised him as their son. And he had siblings. And as the world moves, they had a job that they ended up taking and they moved to DC. And when they moved to DC, that's when he realized that he was different. He moved to DC in the 60s. And people treated him differently. And they called him names and they beat him and they would chase him. And he didn't understand. Because as a child, if you're raised in a family of love and you're raised in a way that doesn't teach you the horrors of the world, then you have some tolerance and understanding of what people are. If you're raised on a farm, he made this comment. He said, "I was raised on a farm. I saw horses. I saw cows. Sometimes the horses or cows would come out a different color than the parents sometimes. And I figured that's what happened to me." He said, "I associated myself with crayons. I colored with crayons with my sisters and my brothers. And I was the color of brown. And they were sort of the color of peach or pink." And he said, "I didn't think anything of it." tolerance and intolerance. What are the things that you were taught are monsters? What are the things that you're being taught right now that are monsters? If you look at the news, okay, the news just wants you to have an angle. They want you to have some type of enemy out there so they can keep feeding you this negativity so that you'll tune in tomorrow so they make more money. And before you know it, they build up the walls. They build up the walls of the castle, and you never see beyond those walls, because as long as those walls are there, they have a purpose and life moves forward and everything's great. Kumbaya. Okay. I challenge anybody right now to go on any social media and see if you can find out what's happening in France right now. They're having a revolution right now in France. And I'm not talking about it lightly. This has been happening since January. This started off with peaceful protests, and now it's turned into firebombing and crashing into things. And there's chaos happening in France right now. But it's not just France. It's happening all over the world. But we're not talking about it here because we built the walls up. We built up walls to protect us, to make us to our way of life, the way we like it, all happy and chummy. And we don't get to talk about it. We don't get to talk about the fact that malaria is having an outbreak right now in Florida and Texas. We don't get to talk about the fact that there's a coincidence of Bill Gates allowing, no, let me rephrase that, forcing billions of mosquitoes to be released with Zika virus to test it out in the American public. There's a lot of things happening right now that we're not talking about. We're not allowed to talk about. I get censored. I get censored for mentioning that Robert Kennedy Jr. is running for president and was on Joe Rogan's podcast. For what are you protecting? I have family members that are transitioning, and I'm not going to out them. I have people that are close to me that were born a certain sex that are deciding later in life. Now, I know that right now people are like, oh my God. Listen, I am fully signed on to the fact that you shouldn't force sex down children's throats. You shouldn't be talking openly about pronouns and gender equalities and this and that and the other, and just live a life that gives gender equality. Live a life that allows people to be people. Stop building walls for children. Stop forcing them to grow up before they're ready. In this country, currently, there are many states where once you're 17 years old, you're considered an adult. Although your brain is not fully developed until you're 25. We've heard many a neuroscientist talk about that. If you feel a certain way about your life and you want to experiment, then experiment. I don't give a crap. It doesn't affect my life at all. If you get to be 25 and you go, hey, I just realized that I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. I think I'm meant to be a different gender. Okay, you're 25. You're paying your own bills. You're responsible. Your brain is fully developed. If that's a decision you make, go forward with it. I'll support you. I don't want the dialogue of society to be hate in any part of that. The minute that I hear people talk about hate in any portion of this dialogue is the moment where I feel checked out. I feel like I need to either defend somebody or speak up or relate it to how it matters in their own lives, because we all talk a big game until it affects us personally. We all think we know where the walls are. We all think we know who the bad guy is. Until one day we look in the mirror and we realize we're the bad guy. We're the reason that things are screwed up. And right now, listen, people are openly on social media giving their two cents worth on everything. And sometimes your opinion is wrong. Sometimes my opinion is wrong. I'm curious as to how this time in history is going to be looked at in the future whenever they do a flashback. What are they going to talk about with information and misinformation and how it affects our lives? This cartoon movie, Nimona, was perfect. It does this beautiful thing in a way that outlines how we perceive things, how we often get it wrong, and how if we look outside that wall for just half a second, we realize there's a whole world out there that has nothing to do with our walls. It has nothing to do with the things that we're hung up on. There's a whole world out there that is just waiting for you to discover it. And sometimes the thing that you end up loving the most is the thing that you thought you hated. So, Nimona is my big win movie so far this year. It's probably the best movie I've seen this year. Yeah. So, right along the same guidelines, let's talk about Black Mirror. It's a show on Netflix. Again, Netflix is killing it right now. Black Mirror, season 6. Now, Black Mirror to me, I could be wrong, but Black Mirror is your screen, okay, on your phone, that black screen. It's a mirror because you're looking at it, okay? Sometimes that black screen gets cracked because what you're looking at isn't what you think it is. That's the whole premise, okay? From the first episode, it's all about how technology is just on the precipice of awful things happening because we're doing something awful with this technology. And it shows how things can go off the rails pretty quickly. And for 5 seasons, Black Mirror has done an amazing job of doing just that. And I don't know if they decided to change the formula, but here in season 6, they've changed the formula. Now, the first episode, excuse me, I got to drink some coffee. I've been talking a bit here. The first episode is amazing. The first episode is called Jane is Awful. Joan is Awful. Excuse me, Joan. Joan is Awful. And the premise of the movie, or the premise of this episode, is the teaser for the whole season. If you are scrolling on Netflix going, what am I going to watch? They'll play this preview, okay? And it shows a woman sitting on the couch with her boyfriend, fiance, whatever. And they're scrolling. And they go, oh, what's on Sparkleberry? That's what they call Netflix. Now, I heard that that was going to be the name of Netflix at one time. They actually thought about naming the company Sparkleberry. But it's got the same tone while this S pops up on the screen in the stylized Netflix red. And they go, what's on Sparkleberry? And they're like, what about this show? Nah, what about this show? Nah. What about this? What? Wait, what is this? And all of a sudden, it's this Joan is Awful. And it's a picture of her, basically. But it's Selma Hayek. And she has her same hair and her same dress and everything. And like, what is this? And they hit play. And, you know, because he talks her in, hey, let's watch it. Let's watch it. And as it's playing, she's realizing that it's her life that she just lived that day happening, dramatized by Selma Hayek. And she, but it's like a television show of her life, but it's being done as it's happening with Selma Hayek playing her. Listen, this is crazy. This is a crazy episode. Annie Murphy plays Joan as we see her. Okay. And, she realizes really quickly that, Selma Hayek is, has some tie-in with her, and she can't figure out why. her life basically implodes and she has to figure out what's going on. And she goes to her lawyers and she goes to Sparkleberry and she finds out that in the terms and agreements thing on her contract that she signed to get Netflix, Sparkleberry, whatever, that she basically agreed for them to use all likenesses of her. And this is with everybody who's subscribed. And there's also a contract that Selma Hayek signed so that they could use a digital likeness of her. So it's not even her on the thing. It's a digital likeness of her. Listen, this is this is so crazy. And it's so computer futuristic driven and also timely because this kind of stuff is being sought out as a project now. That it again brings up that idea of the media wants to create something that you're going to respond to. They even address this. They talk about the fact that they wanted to come up with a concept that people are going to watch. And they tried to make shows about these people that were randomized, but it was going to be so-and-so is great. And they said that we did that. And on a test audience, nobody watched any of it because they didn't care. But as soon as you put the word awful in there and you focused on the negative, then it became compelling and people couldn't turn away. And I was like, holy crap. That is really true. It's a smart episode. It really is. The first episode is awesome. The cast, the crew, the effects, just amazing. Just amazing. Okay. All right. So the next episode, Lock Henry, is terrifying. Has nothing to do with technology. There's not one part in it. To me, this one goes way off the script. It's just terrifying. It's a terrifying episode. When you get to the end and you realize what happened, it's awful. Okay. There's no feel good about any of that. There's no technology involved. I don't know. This was a short story movie that could have stood alone as its own thing. It has nothing to do with Black Mirror at all. I mean, the only technology used was a VHS player and a VHS recorder. And a computer at one point because they are downloading the stuff to make a movie. Anyway, this was not very technology based at all. I didn't see how it fit. Yeah. Okay. Episode 3, however, is called Beyond the Sea. Episode 3 is very technology based. This one belongs in the series. This one's Aaron Paul. Wow. Holy cow. So this one is two guys are basically on a spaceship and they're on some mission that's going to take them years to get there. Now this is stylized interestingly because it's supposed to be like the cars they drive are the 1960s cars, but they're futuristic. Okay. I can't explain how the two go together, but they do. These guys are on a spaceship on this long mission, but they have the ability to get on in the spaceship and use this thing that's on what looks like a dog tag where they plug in and they can activate a robot likeness of themselves back on Earth to interact with their families. And let's just say it goes horribly wrong. Okay. This episode, one of the guys has a wife and two kids and he seems like he's extremely happy and everything's great. And then he gets attacked by some weird hippie cult group who calls him an abomination and they murder his family in front of him. It's awful. It's awful. It is really awful. And so he's trapped on this ship and he's got nothing to do. And for most of the trip, his partner can plug in and visit his family, but he can't. And it's a two-man ship and you need both men to operate this ship because things go wrong and they need repairs. And there always has to be someone that's available to fix the things at times. And the other person is Aaron Paul. He has a wife and a child and they live out in the country. And he tells his wife, you know, hey, we're not going to make it because my partner's going crazy. Like he is seriously depressed. I think he might kill himself or something. And I can't do this mission on my own. I need him. And I'm thinking about allowing him to, can he use this robot body to at least have some fresh air and sunshine here on Earth and just help his mental state? And they talk about it at length and they finally decide it's a good idea. And let's just say it goes horribly wrong. Everything goes wrong. Everything goes wrong. Everything goes so wrong that after I watched this episode, I turned the TV off and I didn't watch TV for 2 days. I wanted to pet a puppy. I wanted to, you know, hug children. I mean, just, oh, this was the ending of this is a real gut punch. It is hard to get past. Which is what Black Mirror is known for. Black Mirror is known for sort of realizing the horrors of humanity and showing us how technology can go horribly wrong at times. Okay. This is well thought out. It was well acted. Aaron Paul, in everything he's in, looks the same, but he gets better in everything he does. From being Jesse on Breaking Bad to Westworld. I mean, the leaps and bounds of his acting ability get better and better with every project. And this is probably his best performance. It's incredible. Episode 4 is called Maisie Day. And it's basically about a woman who is a paparazzi. She gets paid money to take pictures of celebrities. At a certain point, she realizes that the paparazzi themselves are sort of monstrous. There's a theme here this week. People becoming monsters. And she realizes that at a certain point, she doesn't want to be a part of it. She steps away from it. And then an opportunity comes along for her to get photos of some famous celebrity. And if she gets these photos, it'll pay enough money to take care of all of her financial needs for quite a while. And she takes an opportunity to go and get these photos. And in the process, there's a moment where the celebrity that they're chasing, this girl, she had been on a movie set and she had been drinking one night and went out drinking and driving and she hit something. And from that moment on, she left the set and it was reported that they found a body and that the body had been hit in a hit and run in the middle of the night. And she thinks that they're after her. The whole thing makes you think that she's just trying to escape the fact that she was drinking and driving and hit somebody. And then you realize that that's not the case. That the woman has been bit and she's been turned into some kind of werewolf thing. And the paparazzi come in there to take photos of her and they're going to, oh, we're going to make all this money. We're taking these photos of her. And she's in this rehab clinic. And then she turns into a werewolf and she kills most of them, if not all of them. Anyway, again, nothing to do with technology so much as it is just a warning about life and how we treat one another. And I guess in a way that is a Black Mirror event. That is us looking at ourselves and in the glass, in the mirror and going, ah, this is how we're horrible. Okay, great. And maybe that's the Locke Henry story too. Maybe it's the idea that at times we're all horrible people. I don't know. Maybe that's the theming. I'm looking at Amazon. Google right now to see what the premise of the show says, what they've turned it into. It says a series of standalone dramas, sharp, suspenseful, satirical tales that explore techno paranoia. See, the techno part is what gets me. Because where's the technology? Anyway, it's a contemporary reworking of The Twilight Zone with stories that tap into the collective unease about the modern world, particularly regarding both intended and unintended consequences of new technology and the effect that they have on society and individuals. Okay, so Locke Henry's story would have been about the cameras and how they had no idea that the cameras in the future would cause them to have problems. And I guess still the Maisie Day one, I don't know where the technology part gets in there. Anyway, each story features its own cast of unique characters, including Dallas, Bryce Dallas Howard, Alice Eve, a bunch of names I can't pronounce. And a bunch, they're basically all really good help, good directors. Okay, so last episode of the season, there's only six episodes, is something called Demon 79. And it's Northern England, 1979. A meek sales assistant is told she must commit terrible acts to prevent disaster. And this is psychologically trippy. It's an Indian woman who is living in England in 1979, and she's being discriminated against a lot by her coworker, who is just a turd in herself. But hey, it's 1979, right? There's no rules. You just say whatever you think off the top of your head, be ugly to one another. She's from another country, and so she eats different foods than people are used to, and it smells bad to this one girl, and she makes a complaint, and the guy tells her, you have to eat your lunch in the basement. And she goes to the basement to eat, and she cuts her hand and touches some talisman, looks like a wooden domino. And all of a sudden she meets this giant demon who takes the shape-shifting ability to be the guy who's singing on TV. And he's telling her, you know, hey, you know, it's kind of the gig. Listen, your world's, there's something bad's going to happen here pretty soon, but you got to kill three people before, you know, in the next 3 days. Otherwise, this awful thing's going to happen and billions are going to die. And I'm not making the rules. I'm just told this is what you got to do. And so the whole thing is like a psychological thing of, wait, is this real? What the heck is going on? This one's kind of interesting. But again, has nothing to do with technology. Not one piece of technology is in this, other than the fact that she watches the TV and this guy's on the TV and now she's seeing him as this thing. That's it. So I guess if I had a recommendation of watching Black Mirror, it's be aware, it will disturb you. Even season one will disturb you. The first episode will give you a base of what every episode is going to kind of be like. But Jane is awful. Joan is awful. I need to keep mispronouncing that. Joan is awful is actually really good. And Beyond the Sea with Aaron Paul is painful to watch. And you'll see why. I'm not even going to describe what happens. It's pretty bad. So, but yeah. That's it. That's all I got. Oh, I skipped one. Extraction. Chris Hemsworth. Everybody likes Chris Hemsworth, right? He's the big action star. He's the guy. He's Thor. So, Okay, Extraction, the first movie came out. And then I guess this was when Netflix was trying to get into making action star out of this guy, and here's an idea for a story, and I watched it, and it sort of watched it and watched at it. I felt like it was one of those shows that you could just have on in the background and do other stuff around the house, and once in a while look at it and go, yeah, he's still doing the thing. He's still fighting stuff. And the story was weird. I watched the first episode, and they kind of wanted to make him out to be this, you know, Rambo-type character, but with this, you know, Australian accent, of course, because he's Chris Hemsworth. And girls like that. So, yeah, the first Extraction, I just didn't care for. I was just like, eh, okay. This one is actually pretty good. The second one's pretty good. And I'll tell you why. Because they don't tie up too much information in the story. Because why I care about the story, okay? The way they spell out the word extraction on the screen, I think it's meant to be a play on words. It's supposed to be the extra, E-X-T-R-A, and action, A-C-T-I-O-N, to just be extra action. But you say extraction because there's going to be an extraction in the show, but there's extra action. The whole thing is action, okay? I told my wife, I said, this is like, you know, how long's a movie? It's 2 hours and something long. Where's the, does it give the rundown? Let's just say it's 2 hours and 5 minutes. Okay. I'm sorry. 2 hours and 40 minutes. I see it now. 2 hours and 40 minutes. 2 hours and 30 minutes of that is action. There's 30 minutes, there's about 10 minutes worth of, okay, this is the story and we're going to move forward. And the rest of it's just like John Wick, Australian speaking John Wick version of the action star doing the thing where he's basically attacking and, or, you know, trying to defend himself and kill everyone in the process. I saw some kind of blurb saying that John Wick 4, they did a tally of like 156 people that he killed. I would say that Extraction, he's trying to get around 300. If we're playing this like a video game. Yeah. So the characters are really unimportant. He's cool. Idris Elba is in this, which is neat because they're going to make a third one. Obviously, they kind of leaded it. They steered it towards a third episode that they're going to make, which is fun. It's a fun kind of action movie where there's lots of killing. But he is, you know, Chris Hemsworth is an action star now, and this is an action star movie, and he does the part. So if you're looking to, watch a commando guy go on a dangerous mission against ruthless gangsters in a Middle Eastern country where everyone has a weird accent and that makes them automatically a bad guy, then there you go. You could watch him do that and he gets to be the hero. And, you know, just imagine in your head the eagle going, ca-ca, and, or however you do an eagle sound. I can't do an eagle sound. But, you know, the only thing missing is a mullet. Like, he needed a mullet. That'd have been like just America. Yeah. Even though he's Australian. Whatever. You get it. You get it. All right. So my big recommendation this week is Nimona. Check it out. And if you don't, I don't care. Keep building up your walls. That's cool. That's cool. But maybe, I don't know, just, I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe take one brick down from your wall and see what happens. Maybe look over the wall. Just for a second. We're here for a short period of time, okay? You have a choice in life. You can learn to love people or hate them. You can learn to put your head in the sand, or you can stand up and look around. You can learn to grow and change, or you can become stagnant and shut in. Sometimes there are monsters out there, and they're not the monsters we think they are. So, be kind to one another, okay? Enjoy the 4th. Buy your fireworks from a guy with 8 fingers. He sells the best ones. Don't drink and shoot fireworks. Or if you do drink, have someone else who's not been drinking to the fireworks. Don't drink and drive, okay? Y'all have fun. And don't do anything stupid. And hopefully we'll all do this again next week, okay? Y'all take care. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share this with your friends. And I always end this by saying, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Move, baby.